How do you do? The man in the following story lived with his family on the outskirts of a small village in Colombia where he worked with Bible translators. He rode his motorbike home at dusk on March 31st, 1994. And as he got off his bike to unlock the back gate, a man approached and drew a gun. Two other men appeared with guns drawn. In a country torn by civil war and violence, he survived, because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
What do you want? I don't have much money.
Get off your bike and come with us. Someone wants to talk to you. Vamos! Let's get out of here. This radio is on. Turn it off. Get moving, or I'll kill you.
Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Because of faithful friends and listeners who give to help keep the porch light burning in the old lighthouse, Pacific Garden Mission has not closed the doors since it first opened in 1877. As the number of homeless people has increased over the years, so has the dedication of everyone involved. The mission provides the only free medical and dental clinic in Chicago. Food, clothing, and a safe place to sleep are given to as many as 800 people a night. Classes and counseling help people take responsibility for their lives and become working citizens. But it's the truth that sets them free, offering God's grace instead of condemnation. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2603 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Security, Ed here.
Ed, this is Doris. I think something has happened to Ray.
Where is he?
He went to Puerto Hieras on his motorbike, and he should have been home by now, so I turned on the radio expecting to hear from him, and I heard strange noises, scuffling and heavy breathing.
Well, do you think he had an accident?
I heard muffled voices. A man said, "Vamos, let's get out of here," and then the radio went dead.
Oh.
Ed, I'm really frightened.
Oh, we'll go out and check on him, Doris. There's his motorcycle, and the keys are still in it.
Oh, no sign of an accident.
Well, let's walk down the road and see if we find anything else.
Look, here's a piece of denim from his shoulder bag. Ray?
Ray, are you out here? Jim, turn off your flashlight.
Okay, why?
Well, they may still be out there.
You think he was kidnapped?
Well, I'm going to radio back what we found. I don't like the looks of this.
The man in our story was an American who had lived nearly 3 decades in South America, 22 years in Colombia alone. Both his sons were born there, and he had deep community ties befriending the poor. Why was he kidnapped, and how could he be released? We'll let Ray Rising tell you that. This is his true story, right now on Unshackled.
My kidnappers forced me to walk fast at gunpoint for hours. 3 times we crossed rivers by dugout canoe, with me lying face down, terrified because I can't swim. Whenever we traveled by vehicle, I was blindfolded. As we began marching next morning, with the blindfold removed, I saw that my captors were young, some were girls, and all were dressed in green fatigues. Each carried weapons and wore artillery belts. We plowed deeper into the jungle until finally they stopped to make camp near a stream, using sticks and branches to build tables and beds, even a platform for bathing.
So, how are you doing?
I have been better.
Don't worry. We don't kill prisoners.
So what are you holding me for if you don't plan to kill me?
We just want to talk to you, that's all. If all goes well, you'll be home in a week. I'm the commandant. Is there anything you need right now?
Some toiletries would be nice, a Bible, and a notebook to do some writing.
I'll see what I can do. Oh, one more thing. Don't talk with any of the guards unless you're responding to an order. Otherwise, there will be trouble.
The next week, they gave me a small New Testament in Spanish and a notebook and pen. I discovered that they were communist guerrillas, one of several groups fighting against the government. I wrote a letter to my wife, unaware that my family had been sent back to the U.S. for security. In spite of the warning not to talk, some of the guerrillas questioned me.
Are there American troops in Loma Linda?
Oh, no. Only civilians who work at translating the Bible into local languages. There's no military there.
Oh, yes, there is. We've seen them.
Who's seen them? You?
Well, no. But I've heard others talk about it.
Yeah, whatever they saw, it wasn't the American military. We wouldn't do something like that.
Okay, you can bring him back to camp now.
I saw that they were probing me for information. They had misconceptions about our work in their country, and I began to sense that my abduction was a calling by God to witness to my captors. A month later, military planes suddenly flew overhead, dropping bombs in the woods nearby. Everyone grabbed their belongings and bolted out of camp. Because I was now dressed in their green uniform, I dared not try to signal government troops who would shoot me on sight. Were they after us?
They were after any encampments in the area. If we'd stayed, they would have found us. We're not safe either, so we'll wait until dark, then move on. What are you writing about, huh?
I take notes on my devotions, my Bible meditation.
Well, I'll just keep that.
Oh, no, don't do that, please.
I think you're writing about us and planning your escape. If you try anything, I'll kill you myself.
After that, we moved every couple of weeks, each time tearing the camp apart and spreading the wood around to avoid detection. My captors demanded a multi-million-dollar ransom for my release and passed along my letter to Doris as proof that I was alive. As the months dragged by, my nerves suffered, and I offered to help repair their radios and other equipment to keep busy. Some of the guerrillas were friendly, but some were very hostile and menacing. One of them accidentally cut his leg one day with a machete. Look at your leg. It's bleeding badly.
Get away. It's nothing.
What do you mean nothing? It's a very deep cut. I'll get the commandant.
No. He'll sanction me.
Sanction you?
No. Big holes. Run supplies.
Well, at least put some pressure on that cut. The blood is gushing out.
Now look what you've done. Here comes Leo.
Many Colombians still practiced witchcraft, and Leo began a mystical chant over the wounded man that did nothing to stop the blood puddling on the ground. I persuaded him to lie down while I pressed a cloth against his wound and prayed. All the while, he cursed me. After several days, the wound stopped bleeding and began to heal.
Ramon, why do you think my chanting didn't help, Jorge?
There's only one living God who is able to hear our requests and answer them.
Is that why you pray all the time?
Yes, and read my Bible. The Bible is a book about God. The more I know about God, the better I understand who He is and what He wants of me. That helps me know what to pray for, and then I feel confident that God hears my prayers.
Ramon, do you think there's salvation for me too?
Salvation is for everyone, Leo. The Lord God is waiting for you like a loving father waiting for his wayward son to come home. Open your heart to Him. Receive His forgiveness and salvation. He looked at me in silence and walked away. Such moments were rare, and I suffered loneliness and despair thinking about my family. Once I carved my initials in a tree, making my captors very angry at me. I sensed a spiritual battle raging around me, but God brought Bible verses to my mind that calmed and reassured me. He was in control. In August, a new commandant arrived who let the guerrillas talk to me.
So, you're lonely, huh? Oh, that's too bad. Well, I'm here to keep you company now. You want my company? You hear from your wife?
No, I haven't heard from her.
I bet by now she's forgotten all about you. Found herself another man, huh? What do you think, amigo? Think his wife still remembers him?
You're rubbing your leg. You're rubbing your leg. Does it hurt?
I got shot a couple of years ago. It never healed right.
What happened?
A big ambush. Helicopter full of troops. The medic was killed and my comrades had to stitch me up.
Were very many injured?
More of them than us. You ever kill anybody?
Oh, no. I'm a man of peace. wondered how the gorillas survived year after year, putting up with insects and snakes, sleeping on beds made of sticks, walking for hours in water and mud, running from government troops who were always hunting them with bullets and bombs. As captivity began to wear on me, I overreacted and wept secretly. I daydreamed about freedom with my family. I listened to endless political meetings.
I'll tell you who's to blame. It's the Norte Americanos with their filthy dollars.
Boys, someday we'll take over the government and break the gringos' power.
Yes, Ramon, we're going to seize power and put in a different system.
That's right.
A real rigid system.
Leo, that doesn't work anywhere in the world.
Oh, yes, it does. In Cuba.
Yes, from what I hear, Cuba's an economic disaster.
And it's the Norte Americanos' fault.
Maria's right. I'm going to kill someone anyway.
Why?
You heard what she said. Because it makes me feel good.
Well, it's a sin.
Quick, lights out!
Hello?
Hello, Doris. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, just sitting here by the fire.
Well, I have some news, but I don't know if it's true or not.
It's about Ray.
Yes. We've heard some disturbing reports that he may have been killed in an accident, but we haven't been able to confirm anything. Doris?
I'm listening.
We're trying to find out more, but it's slow going. We don't even know who to negotiate with.
I know you're doing everything you can. Let me know as soon as you hear anything.
Ray had been held captive almost 9 months by then. And his ordeal was anything but over. We'll hear more in just a moment. So many people are part of the ministry here at Pacific Garden Mission that we'd like to acknowledge them this Thanksgiving. From the prayer partners scattered across the country and the radio stations that air the program, to the volunteers who sort clothing and supplies, from the counselors who share the good news, to the medical and dental professionals who minister at our clinic. Everyone is part of the body of Christ, giving what they can to help the homeless at the old lighthouse. For every can of food sent to us, every item of clothing, every dollar that has been given, we are grateful, and so are the homeless. So we thank you on their behalf. And rest assured, God sees every effort. He said, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." This Thanksgiving, may you too have a thankful heart. Remember the homeless in Pacific Garden Mission. The address, 646 South State Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
I was still alive, but rumors persisted and spread because no one trusted anyone else. Christmas approached, and military action died down. But my despair deepened at the prospect of being away from my family. One day, as I lay in my bed of sticks, reading the parable of the Good Samaritan, I saw that God wanted me to show mercy to my captors no matter what happened. Just then a shot rang out. One of the gorillas had wounded himself in the foot. While the others worked to clean and sew the bullet hole, I took his hand and prayed. The others were not impressed.
You're wasting your time on all that Christian mumbo-jumbo.
God is real, Leo. Prayer is communication with the creator of the universe. I don't see it as a waste of time.
What's real is what's happening here and now. Nothing else matters.
What if you're wrong? What are you going to say at the judgment?
That I brought salvation to the masses.
Is that what you believe?
God has nothing to do with our lives.
That's not true. He loves us. He's a good God.
If he's so good, why are you out here in the woods with us, huh? Tell me that.
We are in control.
I knew by then that God had allowed me to be taken for one reason alone, to bring the gospel of Christ to these misguided men and women, and I prayed for the opportunity. Christmas Eve came, and I sang hymns and carols to myself. One of the gorillas walked away and left his radio on, which was forbidden. As I listened to a news program, I suddenly heard the voice of my wife being interviewed.
I love you and miss you very much. And look forward to your coming home, and hope it's soon. It's been a difficult time, but God has given us strength.
My spirit soared that God would let me hear my wife's voice on Christmas Eve. The next day, the gorillas prepared a special meal and played games, but even they grew melancholy. With the new year, we moved again, and a new commandant arrived, a man who had once been to my house years before. He was kind to me. As the weeks dragged on, they began playing games in the evening to relieve the boredom. Then, as part of their recreation, they asked me to hold a church service. Do you see this picture I drew? We're all on one side of this chasm, and God is on the other side. Mm-hmm. He is perfect, but we are sinners, and our sin separates us from God. Mm-hmm. There's only one way across that chasm, and that's the cross of Jesus. Jesus, who was God in the flesh and perfect in every way, died on the cross for our sins, then rose from the dead 3 days later so that we would have a way to escape a life of sin and spend eternity with Him.
It's okay to speak about our imperfections and need for God, but nobody talks to God like we are talking to each other right now. Neither can we know Him personally.
Jesus said we must be born again, not physically, but spiritually. So this happens when we acknowledge God as our Savior and experience Him through reading the Bible and talking to Him in prayer. They were silent, and I didn't know if the message had gotten through or not. But the next day, the commandant told me that he had radioed my people to ask about my wife. And that's when I learned that she was back in the States. Once again, God had blessed my obedience in sharing the gospel. A few days later, one of the women asked me to cut her hair.
Have you always talked to God, Ramon?
No. When I was grown up and going to electronics school, I went to hear an evangelist, and he explained how you must be born again. So I gave my life to Jesus Christ that night.
Oh.
Knowing Jesus brings so much joy and freedom to your life that I wanted to tell the world. That's why I came here, so your people would hear the good news.
Oh.
Have you ever read the Bible?
When I was little.
There's a story in it about Jesus meeting a woman at a well outside of town.
Mm-hmm.
He knew she was looking for meaning in her life, but looking in all the wrong places.
So what happened?
Jesus showed her that He was the living water who would give meaning to her life.
This living water, does it have anything to do with the picture you drew of the bridge?
Yes. Jesus is the only way to God. Once you drink Him in, you're saved. He said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I had become more bold in witnessing as the first year passed, but my ordeal dragged on. Through the rainy season, through chiggers that made my life miserable, and endless raids followed by a mad dash to a new location, one day I overheard a radio broadcast that two other missionaries, kidnapped elsewhere, had been killed. I clung to God's promises. July came with word that two drug lords were behind bars in Bogota. The news seemed to frighten one of my female gorilla friends.
I'm afraid for us.
Don't be. God has promised me that nothing bad will happen to any of you as long as I'm here in captivity. Ooh,
what about after that? What will happen then?
Well, look at this verse in Matthew, chapter 12, verse 20.
A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory.
That means someday all the wrongdoers in the world will be held accountable for what they've done. Right now, many people are doing evil things, but God knows and is bringing them to justice. During September and October, military planes flew overhead every week, keeping us on the move. Negotiations resumed for my release. In November, I learned that our people were abandoning Loma Linda, and the military would take over the site. I had to trust in the Lord and in His plan for our lives. As Christmas approached, my hopes rose with talk of release. They gave me new clothes, for mine were threadbare. But Christmas came and went again, as did the latest commandant. By the end of March, I had been a hostage for 2 years.
Your organization dropped some brochures today from an airplane, including a couple of pictures.
Could I see them?
No.
Oh, it's been a long time, 2 years since I've heard from my family. I don't know where they are or what they're doing. My mother is 90 years old. I don't even know if she's still alive.
We can't let you see the brochures.
If these were pictures of your family, you'd want to see them, wouldn't you?
I'll talk with the others. Perhaps you can see the pictures, but not the text.
I put the pictures of my wife, my mother, and my two sons in the Bible I carried and looked at them often. April, we were on the move again, and so were government helicopters who sprayed machine gun fire in a surprise attack that left my heart pounding with fear. We crossed rivers by dugout canoe and camped among alligators and poisonous snakes and another band of gorillas. Would my ordeal never end?
Hello?
Doris, I've good news. We just received a video of Ray. He's all right. Thinner, but all right.
Thank God.
We're negotiating again. It's been a confusing time, even knowing which people to approach.
I understand. When can I see the video?
Well, we'll send it to you right away.
The people all over the world are praying for him.
By the grace of God, we'll get him home soon.
At the end of May, the guerrillas gave me a letter from a friend, the first letter I'd received since I was kidnapped. The letter said they hoped to have me out in 20 days. Every day after that was a struggle to persevere, to believe in spite of past disappointments. June 16th came, Father's Day, and it rained hard. I'd been a hostage 809 days.
Ramon, get up. It's time to move.
What time is it?
10:30. The rain stops. Hurry up. Let me see your backpack. Oh, you can't take these notebooks with you.
Oh, those are my remembrances. Please, let me keep them.
It's only more with a memory like yours. You won't need them.
I will miss you, Don Ramon.
Thank you for your help and encouragement. Rodrigo, thank you for your friendship. It's meant a lot to me.
Ramon is very dear to lots of people, eh?
Comrades, let's go.
We walked and slid on the muddy trail, besieged by mosquitoes, until we came to a road where a vehicle sat waiting, and we all piled in. Each time we came to a town, they blindfolded me. Once we stopped to eat. Then I hiked for hours with a different set of gorillas. I didn't recognize the terrain at all. Finally, as dawn glimmered on the hills, we stopped to wait.
Someone is coming. Drop down in the brush. Come on. Or I can still see you.
We're looking for Ramon Rising.
Ramon.
Ray. Oh, you look good.
Oh, we've been up all night, and I feel great.
Ready to go?
Oh, goodbye.
Adios, goodbye.
Adam, goodbye. God bless you. You respected my Christian faith and defended me. God knows all of us very well. Remember that. Omar, we'll be friends for life because of what God's done between us. Thank you for all your help and for loaning me your radio on Sunday so I could listen to the Christian programs. That meant a lot to me.
Hop on, Ray. Sorry about the mud. I drove my truck as far as I could without getting stuck.
You think I care about mud? This is the most beautiful road I've ever seen.
You sure are a sight for sore eyes.
So are you.
I've got to get you out of that gorilla uniform before we meet any government troops.
We'll stop at my brother's farm and you can change there.
Okay.
We want to get you out of the country without being seen.
Is my family okay?
Oh, yes. They're in North Carolina.
And Mother?
She's fine. Been praying for you. We've all been praying for you.
I saw part of the leaflets you dropped.
Doris did a radio interview, too.
I heard it. On Christmas Eve, when I was really down. Oh, God is so good.
We closed the center at Loma Linda. That was hard after all the work we did.
I heard. But I've learned to really trust God, no matter what.
Did they treat you well?
Yes. They even let me have a Bible to read.
God had a purpose in all this, Ray.
He wanted me to witness to them, and I did.
He's not willing that any should perish.
After I changed into civilian clothes, we headed off again on the motorcycle. As we passed a group of people, a woman recognized me and began shouting my name and running after us to where the truck was parked. We asked her not to tell anyone.
Then we traveled by truck to San Martin, where I called Doris.
Hello?
Hi, honey, it's me.
Oh, Ray. I can't believe I'm finally talking to you. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Don't worry. I'll be home soon. We'll see each other soon.
Oh, thank God you're free.
Like the prophet Samuel, my mother dedicated me to the Lord when I was a baby. Before she passed away in 1999, I told her I was going back to South America because that's what the Lord was pointing me to do. She was at peace with my decision. And today, I am back in South America, taking the word of God that sustained me during my captivity to people living in darkness. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
We hope that Ray Rising's story has been an encouragement to you. God has a plan for your life, and it's good. No matter how dark the crisis or how long it seems to last, God has promised never to leave or forsake the one who receives him as Savior. My friend, do you know him? There's no better time than now to repent of your sins and receive the new life that he gives freely to anyone who asks. To learn more about New Life in Christ, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Take a moment to thank the manager of this station for broadcasting these uplifting stories. And tell your friends to listen, too. There's no better way to ensure the continuation of Unshackled. This is program number 2603, adapted from the book Guerrilla Hostage by Denise Marie Cieno. Heard in the true story of Ray Rising were Greg Whalen, Jill Schellebarger, Anna Marie Alvarez, Larry Moran, Don Stroop, and Joel Corey. Original music, Ralph Coburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write and tell us how these stories affect your life. We really do appreciate hearing from you, and remember to drop a note to the manager of this station and just say, thanks for Unshackled. Our address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Don't despair. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462.